Hey everybody, it's Longbox Heroes After Dark 79. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
That constitutes it. This is the tease of the musical episode, yeah.
That's right. We didn't even copyright infringe any music, so we're good.
Well, we could just do the Russell Crowe thing that he did in Les Miserables when they did the movie of that a couple years ago.
Okay.
Where he just spoke all of his dialogue in a semi-beat like this, and that constituted as singing.
Ah, spoken word with music behind it.
Right. Gotcha. He actually came out after the movie was made. Of course, after he cashed the check and the film was released and bombed, and apologized for his poor performance.
What? It bombed? Or do you mean it was super successful? I don't know. I just assume it did terribly. I don't box office mojo musicals. There's only one musical to me, and that's it. You know what musical it is? You know what movie's the only musical for me?
Does Three Amigos count?
No, Three Amigos does not count.
Now, see, I say, go ahead. So, go ahead. So, what was your musical?
The Blues Brothers.
I thought you were going to say Grease 2.
Grease 2. Oh my God, I have a friend who's actually a huge Grease 2 fan, but. But Blues Brothers is the only one that counts for me. And people go, oh, well, it's not a musical because, you know, they're doing music up on stage. It's not the same way that I'm trying to think of what that one movie was where the song was the big hit and, oh, I can't think of it. The guy from Greatest American Hero was in it. But Eddie and the Cruisers.
William Catt.
William Catt. No, it was one of the young punks, the Sweat Hogs, I think. But in Blues Brothers, you know, it's not just them up on stage doing their songs. At one point, they go to Ray Charles's music store and buy music, and people in the street dance while they're singing. That makes it a musical. Mm.
Okay. Before we get into this, which is completely off topic I had planned, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. And the Aretha Franklin diner scene, where the waitresses start singing behind her. Those two scenes make it a musical, but we're off the rails. Go ahead.
Okay. So I want to apologize to Les Miserables and all people involved. Mm-hmm. It was not a bomb. I just assumed it was a bomb because that's, you know, whatever. That's the sort of jerk off I am. Mm-hmm. The budget on the film was $61 million. And typically when you look at a movie's budget, you can always double it to see what the real budget was. Mm-hmm. However, that does not matter because worldwide domestic gross was $441 million.
So it was a hit.
I'd say that's a success. Yeah, that was more than a hit. So right. I apologize. It's rare that I'm wrong on the show, but when I'm wrong, I skate around it.
There you go. Sharpen up those skates, boy.
Right, but you were saying about musicals, not a fan of the 1986 Little Shop of Horrors?
I like that movie, yes. Okay, I like that movie.
Okay.
But that's a musical.
Absolutely a musical.
Yes, but that's a musical that became a movie.
Okay.
Not, like, Blues Brothers is a movie that was a movie before it was a musical. I'm skating around things, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
See what I did there?
Now, see, for me, obviously, I I'm sure it was a stage production beforehand, but I'm a fan of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You know what? I've never seen that all the way through. I never did one of those midnight showings and dressed up or threw toast or whatever the hell you do. And I've never seen it.
I will preface this by saying it's not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It takes repeated viewings for it really to make an impression on you. Like, if you just see it one time and you're like, it's going to make or break by this, then you're probably not going to enjoy it.
Right. I like the songs. They're pretty good.
Yes. So, okay, so at least you're aware of the songs.
Yeah.
Right.
And Tim Curry is amazing in anything he does.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason this all kind of ties in together a little bit is I was just recently made aware by my wife, who's also a big Rocky Horror Picture Show fan, that the remake is in the can, as they say. They just released an official trailer for it earlier this week, and it's going to be a Fox TV movie to air at some time.
Interesting. Did you know there was a sequel to Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yes, called Shock Treatment, and it's terrible.
Ah, is Susan Sarandon in it?
No, like Brad and Janet are the two characters that transfer over, but they are not played by Susan Sarandon and or the other guy whose name escapes me right now.
Boswick.
Barry Bostwick.
Yeah, I was thinking of Bosworth, the old football player who was in Stone Cold, the movie about the cop, not the wrestler.
Now, see, we turn this all around. Spoilers, everyone, for Rocky Horror Picture Show. I've gone to see it multiple times with the live production of varying qualities. The one near us. Remember the old Eric Theater, or whatever it was called?
Yes, the one that is now... It was the church for a while. I don't know if it's still the church, but I know the Eric Theater.
Yeah, I don't know what... It's something now.
But by the Kmart. That
they were... Right. They were not a good representation. They did not put on a good production of it. There was one that we saw in New Jersey, actually, with Brian and Kim. Brian, a.k.a. Studebaker, of the editing of this and other shows on the podcast... however, when we went to go see it, it was approximately like 2001, 2002. And are you aware of the plot of Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah, the car breaks down, they go to the house, there's the transvestite who's trying to build his lover like a Frankenstein.
Right.
Am I close? Mm-hmm. Am I in the ballpark?
Right, so then there's a third act, then the third act, things kind of get turned on its head, and the two servant characters return, and it's revealed that they're really the masterminds behind everything. Well, in this live production that we saw in the 2000-2001s, when the two servant characters returned, they returned as Stone Cold Steve Austin and Deborah of World Wrestling Entertainment fame. That's how big WWE was at that time, that people were incorporating it into their live performances of Rocky Horror Picture Show, and not a single person in the crowd was like, this is terrible, I'm not enjoying this. They all had a blast.
Well, who wouldn't? Because it was actually Stone Cold Steve Austin and Deborah, right?
Oh, no, if it was, that'd be another story, but it was not. It was reasonable facsimiles thereof. Like, I think the guy even had a mock-up of Stone Cold's vest that said, instead of, like, Stone Cold on it or whatever, it said Riff Raff, which is the character's name. But as I look at the... you know, I saw a little trailer for it, what have you. They have Tim Curry in it as the criminologist, the kind of person who is telling the story of what happened. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see Tim Curry involved. This is something that was on the books for years and years and years that was supposed to happen like 10 years ago. And now here we are at, I think, what's going to be like the 40th anniversary of the movie, 45. Yeah, something like that. I will watch this.
Mm-hmm. I won't.
That's all. You would enjoy it, I think.
This is the remake you're talking about? Well, I probably would just watch before I watch the remake, I'd probably watch the original all the way through.
I would say watch the original first, yes.
So that's kind of why I mean, like, you know, it's kind of like watching. I'm trying to think of a remake that, you know, wasn't as good, because they usually are better remakes.
There's a couple movies where the remake is better. Not to say that the original was bad, but the remake was, Wicker, you know, better. Man. No.
The bees. What?
Nothing. That's terrible. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The remake of Cape Fear,
And then the remake of the remake on The Simpsons was even better.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some would say that Red Dragon, the Richard Harris adapted from the novel, original Manhunter, that's a remake, mm-hmm. essentially, where it fits into the timeline of everything. Those are just two off the top of my head. The first Rob Zombie Halloween isn't terrible, but the first one is, like, really good, like, one of my favorite horror mm-hmm. movies of all time, so... If the original Halloween is an 8 out of 10, I would say the Rob Zombie is like a 7. So it's not like it's terrible, it's just,
you know. I love,
you know,
the Rob Zombie Halloween.
I like it a lot too, but how strong is your affinity for the original?
On a 1 to 10, like a 2.
Oh, really?
No, not that like I don't like original. It, but an affinity. I maybe saw it 3 times in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not. Gotcha. It's like not liking something. It's just I never really watched it. I've seen the Halloween movies once or twice. The first two, I probably have seen actually Season of the Witch more, but that's a whole other story. But I don't know. But when I went to see, somebody dragged me to Halloween, the Rob Zombie one, and I was like, just as the kid and the father was killing me. As, like you know, the jerky, like, a drunken, abusive father, I was like, this guy's got it nailed. I'm like, this is pretty good. And the creepy little kid, who kind of looked like a customer at the store. Yeah.
Okay.
That would come in with his family, and I'd be like, just that's young Michael Myers. But, yeah, I enjoyed that movie.
Yes, and again, like I said, I enjoy it very much as well, but I think that the second one is so not good.
The second Rob Zombie?
The second Rob Zombie Halloween film. But I like the first one. There's a few little things that I would have changed, but that's just my deal. Like when the kid has the helmet on, mm-hmm. or the mask on, right? And the mask is like humongous, and it looks like he's a bobblehead. And so it, like, kind of takes some of the piss out of the scene, where he's supposed to be frightening, but he looks just like a goofy bobblehead, because he's so small, and the mask mm-hmm. is so big. But other than that, I do enjoy, and there's a specific line read at the end, where Roddy McDowall, playing Dr. Mm-hmm. Loomis, and Michael just keeps on coming back, right? Of course, as Michael Myers is wont to do. And then one of the last times that he does, Roddy McDowall just has this delivery on this line, and I'm going to butcher it, but he goes, "Oh, Michael!" like that, like he's just exasperated. He's like, "Oh, this guy just won't die." And it was like he was chastising for Michael for not mm-hmm. dying. Little things like that doesn't make the movie bad, but I'm just like, "Nah, I would have changed that. I would have did something different there just to kind of not..." Like, I don't know if those two scenes specifically were supposed to be played for humor, but I found them hilarious.
It's the exact opposite of how you feel about what's in the box.
Right. Right. Where his line read on that brings the movie down from a 15 mm-hmm. to like a 12.5 out of 10.
I love that line. I love so that bad. Movie. There's no bad part in that movie, including that line.
It took me a long time not to hate Brad Pitt of that.
Mm-hmm. We went to see Neil Gaiman talking about he did a spoken word of his writings and stuff, and he was talking about meeting Brad Pitt at some event, and he said he was like, did he say he was dumb as a box of rocks? Was the actual like phrase that he used? He was like right. Literally, he's like, the reason I believe he's such a good actor is because there's nobody in there. He's like, he could become anything because there's nothing there to start with.
There's people who claim he is very smart, but he's like one of those guys who's like, he's super handy. Like, if he wasn't the world's most beautiful man, he would be a master carpenter or something like that. Oh,
he'd be MacGyver, is what he'd be.
Right. Oh, that's who they should get to play MacGyver in the upcoming MacGyver reboot.
Which one, the movie or the TV show?
They're doing a movie?
Yes, they're going to have two separate MacGyver franchises going at some point.
What?
It's that good. The character is that, like, amazing.
I wonder what Chuck Dixon thinks.
We should
of that.
Probably contact him.
All right. Oh, like boy. So I did not know that they were doing
Yes,
two.
I found out that, I guess, that they're going to do a movie. Like, I don't know if they're still doing the movie, but they're definitely doing the TV show now. You know, younger, hipper, modern MacGyver. And right. They, there was rumors that they were that was rumors. They're like, oh, we want to do a movie too. So I'd be like, oh, if they had two separate MacGyvers and they had a like MacGyver off or something, that'd be fantastic. But what do I know?
I don't think the world can handle two MacGyver franchises at the same time. You think people are bent out of shape over the DC and the DC TV and movie universes not lining mm-hmm. up. Oh, boy.
Speaking of that, there's this guy that I found from being a friend of Peter David on Facebook, where Peter David, mm-hmm. like, just go like spars with him about DC movies versus Marvel movies. And yes. Peter David's kind of like one of those, like, I love his work, love, love, love his work. But he's kind of one of those people who just, like, doesn't let things go. But then the guy on the other side is seriously drinking the Kool-Aid, like, is psychotic about how all the guys who reviewed Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, didn't even see the movie because they're all telling the same lies. And he has the list of lies, and it's just trying to bring the movie down. And he's like, well, people are like, oh, well, there's better, like, the Marvel movies are better because they're fun. And he's like, humor doesn't make a better movie. Like, humor is this. And he's, like, showing, like, Catwoman the movie. And I'm trying to remember, like, Green Lantern the movie. And he's like, see, DC tried to do humor, and it doesn't work in their universe. And I'm like, no, you're using two bad movies. Two terrible right. movies.
You need to send me this list of lies.
Well, I don't know,
intrigued.
Because you have to read through the Facebook. It'll be like this, and then, like, because it'll be, like, the main post, and then 87 replies. And somebody will go, like, man, like, lay off whatever you're smoking. Like, calm down. He's like, no, I will not give up on, if telling the truth is bad, then I'm bad. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. And, like, the truths will come out, the lies will come out. Like, because I guess the reviewer said the way Lex got into the ship, the broken down Kryptonian ship, wasn't that he used fingerprints. He cut Zod's fingerprints off. There's a key card, and they're saying that he used the fingerprints to do this. And that really did this, but the key card did that, so it's all lies. And I'm like, I don't know, I kind of thought it was, I saw the movie, and I thought it was the fingerprints that got him in, because that movie was so confusing. So I'll have to let you know the guy's name, and then you can look him up, because, you know, it's fantastic.
So you'll have to look that up, because I am going through Peter David's Facebook mm-hmm. page right now, and I just see the post here. Found a file on my computer from 2002 labeled, "This script sucked." Curious, I opened it. It was my novelization for the Ang Lee Hulk movie.
Oh, boy. That's fantastic.
That's delightful. Oh, man. So I think if I mine that thread, I could probably root this mm-hmm. guy out. But anyway, I think this is a good spot to close out this After Dark. The thing I wanted to talk about was not talked about, which is the way I like them. We get off onto tangents, and that makes me happy. So soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. iTunes, Twitter, follow us when you see us. Thanks for listening. Episode 79, yes, I did. Said, right? Okay. That's a good ending. You're
no,
probably already
that
out.
Was a solid ending. Don't you worry. I'm still here.
Okay. Now you can go. Gotta hit stop first.